You might like to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'd like to express my appreciation for being invited and for Helen being able to come. We have our Western Region Conference 2 weeks from now, and I'll be here. But Helen won't be able to be here because of both children will be at home, and we'll have them at home for 4 weeks, and I'll miss one of those weeks. But she, of course, would like to be with both children while they're at home. And so she chose to come this week to your conference, and it's just been a delightful time. I knew a lot of you before, and those I didn't know before, you've endured to our hearts in a very real way. And we thank you. The Lord has done some good things in my heart and my life this week. I'd like to give you 5 P's of Joseph's life. In this little devotion you can use, the way up is down. You might have a little outline of your own, 5 P's. And we can memorize them. Joseph started off in the perennial home, and God wanted to train him in the business administration. And there was a fellow by the name of Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh. And God had to get him from the perennial home, signed on to Potiphar, in order that Joseph might save many people alive under Pharaoh. So to get Joseph from the perennial home, he had to take him via the pit. And from the pit, he was sold to Potiphar's. And from Potiphar's, he was sent to prison, where he wound up in Pharaoh's palace. So perennial home, pit, Potiphar, prison, Pharaoh. Can you say that with me? Ready? Perennial home, pit, Potiphar, prison, Pharaoh. The 5 P's. The way up is down. We start off in Genesis 39, where Joseph's father sent him to look after his brethren. He was 17 years old. Joseph was an obedient lad, and it could have been that Dad handled Joseph wrong. Could have been he showed too much partiality. At any rate, he succeeded into building an enmity between the brothers and Joseph. So at 17, when his father sent Joseph to look after his brothers, he was already hated by his brothers. But Joseph learned to work early. And then when his father sent him to look after his brothers, he made one statement, Genesis 37:17. Here am I. That was his response to his daddy when his daddy sent him on a journey. And that was the last conversation he was to have with his father for 13 years. For 13 years, no doubt, he was going to remember the last time he saw Daddy. And I know it made him feel mighty good when he reviewed his last words to Daddy. When Dad said, "Son, I want you to do a chore for me," he said, "You're mine." Some of us have left in a huff. Some of us have left under different conditions, but Joseph left under mighty, beautiful conditions. And maybe he shouldn't. Maybe Jacob shouldn't have treated him like that and put him on the spot. So he went to his brethren, and his brother says, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's get rid of him." You know, we like to go from the favored son to college to a good job to promotion. That's what we like. But God had a different plan for Joseph. He sent him a different way to train him. And no doubt when he was in the pit, he came and they wanted to kill him. And Reuben being the oldest, said, "No, let's don't kill him, let's put him in the pit." And Reuben, of course, would have to answer to his father. So he wanted to salvage him and get him back home because he was responsible. But while he was away, of course, while they sold him to the Ishmaelites and down into, and they sold him to Potiphar. But while Joseph was in the pit, I don't think he perhaps pictured himself as any kind of a savior. Remember, he dreamed that dream when he working in the sheaves and in the field, and his sheaf was standing there, and they'd all bow down. Shocks. I used to shock oats when I was a boy, you know, and his shock would bow down. And even the sun and the moon bowed down. And his father says, "You mean your mama? Are I going to bow down to you?" Well, I imagine when he was in the pit, he perhaps didn't think of any of those things. And of course, there was only one way out of the pit. That was up. Joseph was taught in the pit, salvation comes from above. He looked all around him and there was no salvation. Help come from above. Light is from above. He should have learned that. He didn't, but he should have. Right in the pit. They sold him from the pit to 20 pieces of silver down into Pharaoh's, down to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a business manager for Pharaoh, and he bought him as a slave. And Potiphar saw in Genesis 39, 2 and 3, whatever Joseph's hands touched prospered. So many times when we have to serve and don't like to serve, we don't serve joyously. We don't ask God to prosper. But Joseph did, and whatever he did prospered. And Potiphar turned all of his business over to Joseph. You remember the story of Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and tempted him. And of course, Joseph, maybe he'd been a bit naive to let himself be caught in the house, and none of the servants were around and none of the slaves, but he was. But when she said, "Come lie with me," he left his jacket in her hand and ran. He hadn't read 2 Timothy, but he knew 2 Timothy. Flee youthful lust. Principles don't change. When her husband came home, she blamed her husband. She says, that Hebrew slave that you bought came into the house to mock me. Genesis 39:14-17. Of course, Potiphar was wroth, and he cast him into prison. But you know, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him." You know where God's looking for his men? He's looking in pits and dungeons and lion's den and prisons, looking in all kinds of places. Fiery furnaces. He may be looking in universities, I don't know. Not all that much evidence of it. But let's hope he is, because we are looking there. And when he was in prison, it wasn't long before the prison keeper turned everything over to Joseph. He prospered. Because he no doubt knew the principle in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." When? When you meditate day and night. When God is first. When God is a very reality through the Word of God. When God speaks to man, he becomes real. Paul knew that. Paul was in Caesar's household in Philippians 1:13. He was in prison and palace. And in 4:22 he says, "The saints in Caesar's household greet you." Paul wasn't chief executive officer of some energy company. He was lashed to a Roman soldier, and he started a church. I'm not frowning on chief executive of some energy company. I hope one hires my boy. He's graduating in December. But God had a plan. You remember the dreams of the butler and the baker? He interpreted the dreams, and they turned out like Joseph said. The baker was executed, and the butler was restored. And Joseph told the butler, he said, "Look," he said, "I was stolen from my father's house, and I've had a long journey. 11 years have gone by, and I hadn't seen Pa, and I'm a slave. I've been wrongfully treated. Hey, old buddy, how about speaking a word to Pharaoh for me?" Well, God, who's in charge of things, caused the butler to forget Joseph. In fact, the butler said, "I forget him." You see, God wasn't quite ready. The course that Joseph was on was a 13-year course, not an 11-year course. And so when Joseph said, "Hey, man, you know, let's get out of this thing sideways," God said, "No, don't you remember the pit? You get out of this way up that way, not this way. Your buddies aren't going to help you. I'm going to have to get you out of this." And of course, we know the dream that Pharaoh dreamed when he dreamed about the cattle coming out of the river and the fat cows and the lean cows, and the lean cows ate up the fat cows. And his dream was repeated twice. And the butler says, "I remember my faults this day," to Pharaoh. He told him about that Hebrew slave. So, when God got ready, God said to his servant, rather Pharaoh said to his servant, "Go get him." So they went down and they said, "Hurry, hurry, dungeon slave. Take a shower, get dressed, shave, clean up, boy, fast, fast." I mean, he said, "Look, guy, look, I've been on this road 13 years. Can you guys give me just a little bit more, you know, warning than this?" He said, "No, Pharaoh's waiting for you." So he hurried, got him cleaned up, got him some clothes, got him shaved, and he stood before Pharaoh. Was he excited? Was he anxious? Paul the Apostle said, "Don't be anxious, excited about anything." Boy, he wasn't excited. He just stood there. He says, "I hear you can interpret dreams." He said, "Well, God can. What can I do for you?" You know? Here he was before the mighty Pharaoh, just calm and cool and collected. Why? Because Joseph had been talking to one and living with one who was greater than Pharaoh. He'd been standing before him day and night. He wasn't afraid of him, so why should he be afraid of Pharaoh? He didn't need big classes on how to be, you know, how to be groomed. He didn't have to wear the dark jacket and the brown slacks, or the brown slacks and the dark jacket, because you got to appear that way when you appear to the executives, you know. It's kind of like wearing a uniform, isn't it? I kind of like way down in Oklahoma City, they wear them old smash cats, hats, and they go into a restaurant with some of these guys, restaurants that they own, huh? No, you don't have to. You don't have to fit the bill. You really don't. If you got what it takes, people can see through that. So Joseph stood before him, interpreted his dream. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this in whom the Spirit of God is?" Joseph had told Pharaoh, "What you should do is put a man over all of Egypt and collect the grain and the produce and save it for the 7 good years, for the 7 lean years." And Pharaoh said, "Hey, man, why don't we hire this guy? Looks like he's got it together." In one day, Joseph was taken from the dungeon, cleaned up, given jobs second only to the prime minister, given a ring as token of the transfer of authority, given a chain as a badge of office. He was dressed in fine linen, only fit for the king, and all this is so opposite of a slave. He was given a wife, a very important gift. And Joseph became the father of Manasseh and Ephraim, 2 boys. And Manasseh and Ephraim became heads of tribes. You see, there are 13 tribes, not 12. 13. Joseph didn't have one named after him, but he had 2, one after each of his boys. That made 13. The reason it was 13 is the Levites didn't get an inheritance. They lived off the tithe and off the gifts of the other tribes. Here Joseph, through his sons, became the heads of 2 tribes throughout all eternity. Joseph will be known as the heads of 2 tribes, Manasseh and Levi. I wonder, did he ever think, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that no-count Potiphar's wife"? I wonder, did he ever? Oh, I tell you, The way up is down. God took Joseph from a good position in his father's home. And then he gave him some training in the pit. You notice it wasn't all that long, because we were not built for too much time in the pit. Then he gave him quite a length of time in Potiphar's, and he put him in prison. Not all that long, a little over 2 years, because we're not built all that much for prison. And then he gave him second only to Pharaoh. When Judah came and appeared before Joseph, one of his brothers, he said, O my Lord, let not thy servant, I pray thee, speak. Let thy servant speak a word into my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Why would all this happen? Well, Joseph tells us in Genesis 50, verse 20, after Jacob died, the boys were afraid that Joseph was going to lay the hard word on them or lower the boom because of the way they had treated him, and they were frightened. And they came to him and begged his repentance because fear had become on them. And Joseph said something. He says, God's purpose to save much people alive. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So often that happens to you and me. People, circumstances might be evil. God changes it for good. You notice his length of training was about 13 years. And in my experience, that's about what it takes. Maybe 11, maybe a little longer, but about 13 years. About 13 years before we reach a place, after we get started getting help and concentrated training, about 13 years before God begins to launch us and use us. It could be longer. The way up is down. Thank you.